Gracious God, take our minds and think through them. Take our hands and work through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. Please be seated. This is a big weekend, and not just for scouts or for football fans. Go 49ers. Yesterday was St. Bridget's Day and Imbolc. And today is the Feast of the Presentation of Jesus in the Temple, also known as Candlemas. Oh, and it's also Groundhog Day and Palindrome Day, right? 02-02-2020, same forward and backwards. It's the first one of these since 1111 in the year 1111. So as it'll be the only one in our lifetimes, very exciting. Weirdly enough, all of these things are connected. Except for Palindrome Day, that's just cool all on its own. But let's start by looking at St. Bridget's Day, or Imbolc. It's celebrated on February 1st every year. Now, Imbolc is a Gaelic festival that marks the halfway point in winter, February 1st being halfway between the winter solstice and the vernal or spring equinox. It's a part of the Celtic cycle of celebrations of nature and seasons. The ancient Celts believed that this was the day that the world woke up. And so it was a celebration of fertility and of the earth. When Christianity came to Ireland, Imbolc was still being celebrated. St. Bridget's Day, remembering St. Bridget of Kildare, became laid over top this older festival. Medieval people did this a lot. They kept their ancient pagan festivals and infused them with Christian meanings and stories. St. Bridget is one of Ireland's patron saints, along with Patrick and Columba. Irish hagiography, that's the fancy word for a biography of the saints, but Irish hagiography makes her an early Christian nun, an abbess, and foundress of several monasteries, the most famous one being in Kildare. She was noted as a giver of gifts, as a healer, and as the saintly companion of women and of households. She's also of note the patron saint of beer. Now, February 2nd, we move forward because it marks the Christian feast of the presentation of Jesus in the temple, also known as Candlemas. More on that in a moment. The presentation is celebrated 40 days after Jesus' birth. It's been 40 days since Christmas. Can you believe it? And this was when Mary, along with Joseph, took Jesus to the temple for her purification according to the law of Moses. And of course, also, as scripture tells us, to have him dedicated. This biblical story, which we just read in the gospel, was eventually celebrated by people when they forming processions to their churches, carrying their candles. Remember, it's still dark out, right? Early and late, it's still dark. So they would carry these candles at this hinge point halfway through winter, and they would bring their candles to church where they would be blessed. Hence the name Candlemas, which is just an abbreviation of Candle Mass. Not very creative. This feast officially concluded the Christmas and Epiphany season. And so these blessed candles then served as a symbol of the light of Christ continuing to shine in the winter as winter seeds to spring. Also, fun fact, while the more well-known tradition is that you should take down your Christmas decorations by Epiphany, there are parts of Christendom where you're supposed to leave them up until Candlemas. So if you still have decorations up, that's fine. Just tell people, I follow this tradition. All of this, however, I would say, at least in the broader culture and in the news, is overshadowed in the United States by Groundhog Day. Who's already seen Punxsutawney Phil's projection? What is it? Early spring. This is not a religious celebration, of course, but it is actually still connected to these other celebrations. For it was German Protestant immigrants to the United States who celebrated and brought with them the practice of Badger Day, which was itself a remnant of this whole idea of the earth waking up. Winter is half done. This is another tradition around Imbolc, around Candlemas. They're all connected. And thus all of these celebrations are united by this rhythm and flow of nature and how it is that we understand the holy to be present in our lives. It's not often that this cycle overlaps with a Sunday, and so I couldn't pass up the opportunity to share about all of this, but I would be remiss if I didn't reflect a little more fully on the presentation of Jesus in the temple, as it is the primary celebration for us as Christians. Thus ends the first sermon, and now you get your bonus sermon. The story of Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in the temple with Simeon and Anna is one of my favorites in all of Scripture. I mean, here's this young family with a baby going to worship. I guess it wasn't even any easier in the first century than it is now. And so here they are. They're trying to uphold their responsibilities. They're trying to make this offering according to the law. And suddenly, in swoops this old guy. He interrupts the whole liturgy. He snatches that baby right up and he starts singing a song. "Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people, Israel." And no sooner had he finished than another elderly person comes forward, the prophet Anna. She approaches and she holds this baby and she lifts him up and she praises God and shows everyone present in the temple that God's love has been born among us. What I take away from this story is the power and the importance of an intergenerational community. The sad reality is that there aren't many places other than the church today that we get to experience this kind of community. We're mostly segregated into neat and sterile demographic groups the other days of our lives, right? You're a single. Maybe you're a young married couple. Maybe you have little kids or teenagers. You're working or you're not working. You're retired. You're with the seniors at the senior center. We live in these little groups and butt up against each other at the grocery store. But we don't actually break bread together except here. Because in the church, we find the gift of those who hold and bless our children. And we offer our children to those who would give our arms a rest. And those children are a blessing to them. This is, I think, especially true here at St. James, where the pitter-patter of wandering feet during worship and the ambient sounds of childhood are not merely tolerated, but expected as a part of our worship experience. And so for all of this, for all the ways that we have remembrances this weekend, and all the ways that lead us closer to God and to one another, I give thanks. And I pray that the Spirit may continue to live and move and breathe in our community and in our hearts. And I just have to say, looking out the windows, that I think that groundhog is wrong because it's snowing. Amen. Amen.